Hey, this is Frank Todaro,
otherwise known as Starscream.
And you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, Superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello all, it is I, TFG and Mike, here inside the pull bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network, and from episode 553 to 561, this is the Skybound section. That's right, all of these episodes that you're going to be hearing, including this clip, in front of every single one of them, is stuff from another comic review with Jesse Early and myself. We've already published all these over on that show for him, and now we are syndicating them here for the pullbag. These are completely unaltered, unedited episodes. So there you go. Make your great escape into comics and enjoy the show.
Yo, Joe!
Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Yes, I am from GeekCastRadio.com, which GeekCastRadio.com is currently going through some changes. We're on our way to the next revolution of the podcasting network after 15 years, and I suggested to Steve Megatron a site design and style that did not. I am visually impaired. I have optic atrophy with nystigmatism because of my cerebral palsy and brain damage and everything else. I was born this way. There's no changing it other than the fact that I can wear glasses and I should be wearing glasses most of the time, but I don't because half the time when I take them off, my eyes go back to the same crappy vision I have, and it's like, holy crap, why would I do this to myself? And the reason why I'm saying all this is to say that for the first time in 15 years, Steve is having to learn a new style of web page that is not the magazine style. We have this whole new look that we're going to have once he's done with it and everything else. And yeah, GeekCastRadio.com, folks, it's currently we're clearing out our cosmic rust, and we will be back very, very soon.
Well, that's good to hear. So what you're saying is your vision is presently like that of Megatron's, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, for me, okay, perfect example is if I have my phone and if I stick my arm out all the way, yes, I can see Springer. Yes, I can see, and I know it says Void Rivals, but if my phone is like 5 feet away from me, there's no way I can see that. Perfect example is a stop sign. I don't drive because of cerebral palsy, so I'm a passenger most of the time, and for 44 years of my life, I know what the hell a stop sign looks like. But if we're not right up close to it, I can't read it kind of thing. Like, I know it's red. I know it has white lettering. I know what it says. I know, like, the whole thing is there, but I won't actually be able to read it unless it's, like, almost 2 inches away from my face.
So you're saying you just need to find a driver so you can be a passenger to BotCon 2024. Is that right?
Yeah, kind of, but I don't know if I'm going to BotCon 2024.
We need to get you there. We need to get Ryan there. We could record a live review of one of the Transformer comics here. So.
Yeah, we could.
So, all right. So our topic for this episode is Void Rivals number 9 by Kirkman, DeFelici, Del Pesce, and Wooten. Quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. Derek and Salila go face-to-face with Proximus, face-to-face with certain death? And my quick rundown, we open with Salila still alive while impaled, retracting her spear and falling to the ground. Derek helps her up and they continue their trek through the wastelands. We cut to the Skuxoid returning to his home and announcing his arrival to his wife and kids. only to remember that they are no longer there as we see him collapse into a chair with his head in his hands. Back in the wastelands, Salila can't walk anymore due to her injuries, so Derek carries her. They come upon a garage with a futuristic car in the corner. Dun, dun, dun. Upon entering the garage, the car transforms to reveal Autobot Springer. Springer offers to help Salila, not realizing she is organic, but Proximus returns and begins his attack. As Springer takes on Proximus, Derek tends to Salila as she is bleeding out and discovers a glowing green key on her person. Oh, what is that? We close on Quintessa, where a Quintesson scientist is explaining to a Quintesson judge that the metal of the vessel in their possession is ancient Cybertronian, and that Zertonia that the Skuxoid mentioned could be connected to Zertatron. Upon hearing that name, the Quintesson judge kills the scientist and explains that speaking that name has long been forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts and review of Void Rivals number 9.
Okay, let's get this out of the way first of all. I actually read through the entire letters column this time. This is all your damn fault. Right. And I do know that these things are real. Right. It's just, you have to send them in, you know, like when they say, please, hey, send your letters to whatever it is down here. What is it?
It's Void Rivals at Skybound.com.
Yeah. Void Rivals at Skybound.com. You basically have to send the letter in as soon as you read the issue, and then they will pick which letters they want to have in the next issue. Ideally, with a monthly book, we have just, even though we're reading this late or whatever, I forget when issue 9 came out, but the point is, the idea has always been, as soon as you've read a comic, you write in with your thoughts and your questions to the creators and the people who work on it to get your letter in, let's say the next issue or maybe the issue after that. This one surprised me. I am infamously over the last 15 years and longer, I am not a fan of Springer in general. But in general, when I saw this, I'm like, hey, I kind of hear Neil Ross in my head reading this, and that's great. That Robert Kirkman, wrote Springer to the point where I think I could hear Neil Ross saying these lines as Springer. The Skuxoid thing is super sad. I never thought I'd ever feel sympathy for a Skuxoid.
I'm curious to learn more about that backstory.
Yeah, like that. Like they're like, oh yeah, right. Whoops, they're not. Wait a minute, and then immediately goes right back to Derek and Salila. Going past the wasteland and or going to the little garage where the dead or dying garage equipment is transforming into Springer here. I like they use his sword. I like they use the car mode. The robot mode looks great on him. I like them specifically calling out the size issues. Like, Springer is huge, whereas Proximus basically, fits on the end of Springer's sword. Like, they specifically call this out. Like, seriously? How is Proximus holding up this giant robot sword? Kind of thing. So I love that they address that because, as you know, and everybody else know, probably listening to the sound of my voice, we've always had size issues in Transformers with the mass shifting and everything else and wherever trailers and things go. Well, so
they do skirt the answer to that because we get the question, but we don't get the answer.
Maybe we'll get the answer next issue. But overall, I really enjoyed this. I did not think we were going to go back to Quintessa to end this issue, and I love that. I think that's super cool. And I said before in our other Void Rivals episodes, I love how this series is telling a specific, unique story with Derek and Salila and the Sacred Ring and all that and all their two warring races, but yet they still find ways to work into smartly, not just here's a cameo, not just doing that. Work in various Transformers characters for a specific every Transformers character since Void Rivals number 1 has been there for a specific reason or a specific thing. That's great. That's the way you incorporate them, because if you're someone who is just going into the comic shop for the first time and you want to get something new and fresh and you don't really care about Batman or Superman or whatever, you like sci-fi, here you go, Void Rivals. And you'll get a hint of Transformers, and maybe that will have you as a new reader wanting to check out Transformers and the other stuff. So, yeah, I absolutely love this. This is great.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. This felt like a very quick read, not in a bad way, but it was almost like you go to that first page, you start reading it, and it feels like it's over in just a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing because the story moves along fairly quickly, and it's definitely left me wanting to continue the story, read more, and I gotta wait that damn month to get the next issue.
usually by the time we end up recording these things, usually we are closer to the next issue than we are further away from the current issue we're reading. That's always what's great about comics. When you have to schedule a podcast recording, folks, you're not always going to schedule it the day the issue comes out. You're going to do it on this Sunday or maybe the next week or whatever. So we're closer to Void Rivals number 11 number 10, sorry. Then we are further away from this issue.
Yeah.
Which Void Rivals number 10 is out June 26, 2024.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I love the story. I love this issue. I think the introduction, because I mean, we knew he was coming based on the solicits and everything.
Yeah.
But I love the introduction here of Springer. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I think that character worked really well in this issue.
Yeah, he did.
And I guess I'm not entirely sold on introducing what I would assume are main characters or characters that are going to be main characters in the Transformers comic, kind of outside of the Transformers comic. But again, I think it works really well here. I think if we continued to see Springer in Void Rivals, like maybe as like a secondary or even just adding him kind of to the main roster as a character, I think that would actually work, to be honest with you. I don't know that he needs to be in the Transformers comic. We did read in the free Comic Book Day, Energon special, whatever that issue was called. Right. We saw Hot Rod in there. He was looking for someone. We assumed, or at least I assumed, that was Springer. That might not be Springer. Maybe that's not who he's looking for.
Yeah. Maybe it's somebody else.
Why Springer is here, I have no idea. I'd love to learn it. And again, maybe we will. Maybe he does stick around with Derek and Salila, and we do learn some backstory from him. I would not.
Would you like this now, or do you want me to wait till the end? Because I can already tell you, I have all three pages of 10, 11, and 12 up, and I can tell you he will be here for the rest of this arc.
For the rest of this arc? Okay.
At least. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I would say that's not much of a spoiler then, because I would absolutely love to see that. So if we learn his backstory, like if he... if whatever happens with Proximus here, right? Proximus retreats again, you defeat Proximus or whatever happens to be the case. I think if we get some one-on-one time with Derek Salila and Springer, I'm hoping that we learn some backstory there, from him. Like why is he here? How did he get here? And you know, kind of give some of his backstory to those two. But at the end of this, I guess let me jump back to the Skuxoid really quick. Because that's a couple pages in here. Obviously, it's important enough to, you know, show that here in this issue.
Yep.
I don't think we're done with the Skuxoid story.
I don't think so either.
But I'm very curious as to, you know, what happened to his family. Like, obviously something. Yep. And to have this end with the Quintessons on Quintessa. obviously, there is some more involvement between the Sacred Ring and the Cybertronians. And very curious to learn like how all of that's going to tie in together.
And I will say again, every issue, these artists, colorists, letterers just blow me away. You have got so many colors in this. So we always talk about the creator page where it lists everybody works on the book. And then how the Void Rivals logo is kind of like split down the middle where all the creatives on the top left and then the rest of them with all the logos for Image and Skybound and Hasbro's on. I love how that is. And just the use of color to define different sections of the story, but yet it feels like it is all one story because it is. Because if you start with Derek and Salila and then we get to the Skuxoid going home. So Derek and Salila's colors in the background, not necessarily the colors that are them, the characters, it's like purple and pinks and blues and whatever. When we get to the Skuxoid thing, it's all green. It's all green and black and kind of, it's green, black, light gray kind of thing. And it's contrasting, but it works. It doesn't take me out of the story. Like normally sometimes a scene jump or a scene transition might take me out of the story, but this just flows so well from every bit. And then once, you know, the giant green Autobot is revealed, it's like, oh, that's what we're doing here. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the use of color with the Skuxoid section of the comic, and looking at that, yeah, it almost, as you read, you know, his two pages here, it makes sense, or three pages here, right? Once he actually is on his planet inside of his house, it gets to those blue greens. Mm-hmm. Like by the time you get to that section, you're like, oh yeah, these colors make sense, right? Because they're a bluish green. It's like, oh, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed. Well, he's feeling down and depressed, so
yeah,
obviously that those colors work there. But yeah, I was also going to call out the colors in this particular issue because they seem to run the gamut. It seems like we've got like a full spectrum of colors in this issue, and I think they work really well.
Yeah, absolutely. They very much do.
So I guess what are your thoughts on this Zerta Trion?
Zerta Trion. Interested to see what character it is. I don't know. That's the first time I've heard that name. I don't remember Zerta Trion being one of the 13, and I don't think they're trying to pull in like the 13 primes or anything else. I kind of wish it was Alpha Trion, but I'm more interested to see how the Zertonian stuff and the Cybertronian stuff mix with that name and that potential future character, I assume. So I mean, I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Yeah, so I did a quick Google search, and obviously this is not anything related to Transformers that we are aware of from other media. But and this is on Joepedia.com, or sorry, the Joepedia, the G.I. Joe fandom wiki. And it says that, and this is just speculation, but probably good speculation, it says Zerta Trion is probably also the god Zerta that the Zertonians worship.
Yes, that's probably, yeah.
So yeah, I'm very curious to see what this character is. It's probably a character we'll meet somewhere further down the line. Probably not, you know, in this story arc. But that definitely leaves me wondering, like, who is this character and what are they? If they are a Transformer, which by that name they probably are, what do they turn into? What are they?
You're on the Joe Wiki, I'm on the TF Wiki, and the only thing that comes up is Quintesson Scientist, Quintesson Judge, and Trion Disambiguation. So Zerta Trion specifically does not come up in the... Oh, wait. The mysterious figure from the Energon... Oh, that's this. That's whatever this is. So it's nothing in the last 40 years of Transformers. It's brand new, which is good. That's good. Don't, like I said a second ago, I would have liked it if it was kind of an Alpha Trion thing. I'm glad it's not. I'm glad they are going to be introducing something here for the Energon universe to have a new character and not just have to bring up the old characters all the time.
Let's hope it's not just a pseudonym for Unicron.
Don't jinx us. Like, why would you say shit like that? Don't say shit like that to me. Come on now. What the hell?
Last question I have for you. What do you think this green, I called it a key, but what do you think this green glowing object is that Derek found on Solila?
At first, I thought it had something to do with the Quintessons because it goes right to Quintessa. It does. They don't say anything to, I mean, what he says here, he's... No, wait. What is this? So this is some sort of key something. Thank God Solila is not sorry, which there's nothing wrong with sorry in her key in Transformers Animated, but like, I hope that's not where they're going with this. But I assume it's something to do with Solila and Zertonians and I don't know.
You think maybe... I realize it's not gold, so it's not the key to Vector Sigma.
No, it's not the key to Vector Sigma. No.
Do you think it's maybe, you know, something similar to that?
I think it's something to do with either. It's got to be something to do with her and the Zertonians on the planet. Maybe it's something to do with this new character, the Zerta Trion character. I don't want to speculate too much until we know at least another hint other than just what is this?
Right. And then I guess thoughts on the Quintesson judge having absolutely no remorse for Quintesson scientists. It's just like, you're dead now, Zap.
You're it's kind of like, you know, we don't talk about Bruno kind of thing. You said that name. How dare you say that name in my presence? You are now dead.
What's funny is, right, the Quintesson judge doesn't say that until he's already dead. Yep. Seems like that should have come before.
Should have come before, yeah. I think it's one. I think the reason why it doesn't come before he kills him is because it's a warning to the rest of the people, not just the Quintessons, but anyone else that's on Quintessa, or it's right. A warning to it's basically telling us, the reader, oh snap, this guy doesn't like having the name say, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, no, I'm still loving Void Rivals. Number 9 was really good. All around, there's no complaints here at all for me at all.
I know I've complained in the past about a couple of the issues being slow, and I wish they would pick up. This one does that. Like I said, it was a very quick read for me. I didn't want it to end. Like, I wanted it to keep going, and I got to wait for the next issue. So, mm-hmm. Anything else in closing on this issue?
I don't think so. I think what. I'm not trying to insult. You're learning because you this is the first time you've really read comics, and we've talked about this before with the story building with 7 and 8. They had to build to get to where 9 is, and now right. that 9 is here, I can tell you once I read the previews, once we get there, 10, 11, and 12 are going to go really fast. The next 3 months of your life in this book. It's going to be awesome. I can tell you just by reading what they're just this story is so good. I can't wait for the collected edition on this.
Well, all I have here is the solicit for 10. So if you have 10, 11, 12, you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. Void Rivals number 10, arriving June 26, 2024. Secrets of the Sacred Ring revealed. Void Rivals finally puts the Energon, quote-unquote, in their corner of the Energon universe. There are 3 different covers. The one that I like the most is the one where I think it's Salila looking at, she's all like in gem pink color synergy colors, and Springer's like, it's almost like he's holding her in his hand or something. No, because Derek is right there. It's a background thing. But anyway, and then in July 24th, 2024, Void Rivals number 11, War in the Wastelands. Zertonian forces have caught up to Derek and Salila, but thankfully they have a little Cybertronian help. Springer to the rescue! Dun dun dun. And then number 12 comes out August 28th. So that's roughly about 30 days between each. But July 24th to August 28th. That's not bad. That's good. Good on them. All of these, by the way, $3.99. I'm sure they'll go on sale on Amazon Kindle after they're out for a couple weeks or months or whatever. Number 12, after what they've endured in the wasteland, are Derek and Salila now destined to walk separate paths? Where Salila, that makes no sense. Oh, yes, it does. I'm reading it too slowly. Where Salila goes now, Derek cannot follow, or can he? And what will Springer's final fate be? And what are the Quintessons planning now? Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently they're planning to kill more Quintesson scientists.
Probably. That would... I mean, I'm looking at these... the variant... The two... So the main cover for issue 12 is Derek and Salila kind of facing away from each other, like in the wasteland. That, you know, one's facing left. They're back to back. And they're like walking away. But the variant cover is the Quintesson... Oh, boy. Whew, that's, here, I'll share this so you can see it in case you don't have the page pulled up. It's in the Google chat there. Okay. But yeah, that's a little, it's a little scary. That's a little, mad science lab kind of thing there with that cover for the Quintesson.
Is it alive?
It's alive. That's right.
And then the other one, yeah, it's them So the main issue, you said they're back to back, but then there's another one where it's kind of a split, right? Yep. It shows each one of them, and it shows Salila back with Proximus there. So that's kind of
interesting. Yes, it does. Yeah. Again, new series. When we started this, when we did, like, I think up to issue 3, I still wasn't sure. I think after issue 3, I was like, okay, good. And I've been on a really, really high note kick with this series because it is a breath of fresh air with references and characters that are mixed in. And I don't think any of these, I mean, we know potentially Shockwave is going to come into the Transformers comic at some point, but I don't see Springer or the Skuxoid being thrown into whatever Mr. Warren Johnson is doing on Cybertron and Earth, because this Void Rivals thing is a whole other separate story. And like I said earlier in this episode, the story is about the Zertonians and I forget what Derek's race is called, but it's about the people of the Sacred Ring. It's about the two halves. It's about this. It's about that. And, you know, the Transformers are just kind of there to move the story along.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see the Skuxoid showing up in Transformers or G.I. Joe, and I don't think that it would make sense to bring him there. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so this is the end of that story arc, right? The issue 12?
I assume it is. That's usually what happens with collected editions, 7 to 12. So okay. That's usually, it's 5 issues. We had maybe they'll do 13. I don't know. But usually 7 to 12 is a trade paperback.
Well, all I can say is at this point, right, if you're just tuning into the podcast, you're just, just kind of getting interested in the Energon universe as a series, I would not turn away from reading the Void Rivals comics. If you can go back and get previous issues, or if you wait for the collected editions, I would highly suggest picking them up.
Right now, Void Rivals Volume 1 is available. It came out February 21st of this year. The cover price is $17. You get issues 1 through 6. So $17 for 6 comics, that's not bad. And you get the whole story, whole first arc of the story in one book.
Yeah. And you can always, if you want it digital, you can always go back and get the individual issues, which I think are on sale now or much cheaper than they originally were during the release on Amazon. So. But yeah, I highly recommend reading the Void Rivals series. I think it's, like you said, it's a breath of fresh air, and it's been a really nice story up to this point. So, all right. So, closing thoughts. Anything else to add?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm, like I said, really, really enjoying this. Void Rivals number 8, which we covered last month, is down to $2 for the single issue. So,
okay.
Yeah. Same thing with the others. They're usually, they will usually go down in price after their initial release and after they initially make that $4 a pop thing.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a comic that we're invested, and we're always invested in the stories and comics, but like if somebody says to you, oh, try reading this Batman or this or that, my biggest thing with certain superhero comics is, I don't need to see the same story. Like, I can't say this with Batman, Bruce Wayne, but I can say this with like Spider-Man. Okay, if you're telling me it's Peter Parker, I know his origin. His origin hasn't changed since 1962. He gets bitten by a radioactive spider because he got in a fight with his uncle. His uncle dies. He feels blah, 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 sad and everything else. With great power comes great responsibility. Peter Parker then becomes Spider-Man, goes on to be a hero, joins the Avengers, does this, does that, whatever. There's no real changing Peter Parker Spider-Man unless he is a different Peter. Like, if he's, like, in Spider-Verse, there's the older pajama wearing Peter from a different universe in those movies. Okay, fine, you can do that. That's different. But as a general rule of the character of Spider-Man, if it's Peter Parker, he has the same origin almost every time. Same thing with Miles Morales. You know, most of the time, and they'll have the same origin start, sort of. And with this, you get something that this to me, and I know people are probably going to be listening to this and shaking their heads at me when I say this. This to me is like what Star Trek Next Generation was to me at 7 years old back in 1987. It's something new to me. I did that as a 7 year old. My mom was not watching Star Trek, the original series. She was not watching those reruns, but we were watching Next Generation every whatever night it came on whatever channel it came on in Massachusetts. This is that to me. This is that new, like I already said, injection of character that you can get into. Like I said before, Derek and Handroid, it's essentially Booster Gold and Skeets from DC, because Handroid is this little android hand on his thing, whatever. That's what that reminds me of. And like I said, as long as they use the various Transformers characters that they are using to move the story along and not take the story over and be just about the Transformers, you don't want to have them, and I don't think they will do this, because I know Mr. Kirkman and everybody else that's working on this is very smart, and they know what they're doing and whatever else and all this and all that, but like, you don't want to have a book introduce this whole new universe with Derek Salila, their two races or their two sides of the ring, and then have Springer come in or Shockwave, any even the Skuxoid, have them come in and just make it about them. It's not. Accentuation is the key when it comes to the Transformers characters. And like we've already said, they do that very well in this book. And I would recommend this book to anybody who wants something new with a little bit of sprinkling of some stuff you may already know.
Yeah, I think you put that very well. All right. So plugs, what do you got for plugs? You already plugged the website, but you can plug it if you want.
GeekCastRadio.com. We are in the process of, Steve is working really hard doing all the website building and everything else. And he's learning a whole bunch of new stuff and doing a whole bunch of new stuff. And hopefully in a couple weeks, maybe a month or so, we will have a brand new GeekCastRadio.com. All new, all fresh, all the time, I guess. I don't know.
Until the next refresh.
Well, the next refresh will probably be, by the time we hit 25 years of podcasting. I'm not kidding. Right now, we just hit 15 years for Geekcast Radio Network on June 1st. And I said to him today, as we're recording this, I'm like, well, I guess this new website layout and this new design that we're working on now, it should at least last us for the next 4 to 5 years. And by that time, it'll be 20 years that we've been doing this. So,
yeah,
I'll die with a microphone in my mouth, folks. I'm never not going to podcast.
Man, I recorded my first in 2005. My plugs. So you can find this podcast at anothercomicreview.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. You can find me on Blue Sky at Jesse Early. And what else did I want to plug? There was something that just came up and now it left my head. Oh, yeah. Our next comic review, Scarlet. We're going to be holding off on reviewing that until Destro comes out. Yep. Very similar to what we did with Duke and Cobra Commander. So we'll be reviewing each issue together. So yep. Issue one for both Scarlet and Destro together. Destro doesn't come out until the 19th, correct?
Yeah.
So you can look for our review of both number one issues shortly after that.
Yeah, sometime at the end of the month.
But, oh, man, pick up Scarlet.
Yes. Look, I mean, as soon as I saw the name on Scarlet, I was like, I'm going to read this. I already know I'm going to read this because of who the writer is. But number one, I didn't even have to read a single word because Kelly Thompson, superstar Kelly Thompson, is the writer of Scarlet. And she has also written Black Widow for Marvel. She has done Gem and the Holograms when IDW did the Gem and the Holograms book. She's done so many cool things out there. Kelly Thompson, superstar writer, and cannot wait for the rest of it. I know we're not to it yet because we're going to wait to Distro, but I'll just tell you now. I'm like, give me, like, I need the comic book of Scarlet to just be injected into my brain because that was good. That was so good.
Yeah, I don't know anything. Like, I personally don't know anything about Kelly Thompson or her writing, but after reading this, I actually left a review on Amazon. That's like the first review I've ever left for any written anything.
Very cool.
But what I will say is, I think I told Mike this offline a couple days ago, or I guess a day ago, right? This came out a day ago as of this recording, that I think this one single issue of Scarlet, which again falls in the G.I. Joe universe, is better than anything we read so far in Duke or Cobra Commander combined in the entire 5-issue miniseries of both of those.
Yep.
So yeah, I think Scarlet's fantastic. Very, very interested in seeing where that series goes. But if the first issue is any indication, I think it's going to be a very fantastic miniseries.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love miniseries like that because the way that I've seen it described and the way that I've heard, I've read in interviews Kelly describe it, this entire series for Scarlet is one big suicide mission.
Yeah,
is the way that it's being kind of promoted. Yeah, absolutely. And I see your review right there.
There it is. I read it from my phone, so I'm just typing it up from my phone. It's not a very lengthy review, but I gave it 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Verified purchase, all that good stuff. Yep,
that's me. All right, so I think that's it. So our next review, I guess, Transformers doesn't come out till when? June 12th. So Transformers June 12th. That will actually probably be our next review.
Yeah, most likely.
We'll get that in before Scarlet and Destro. So maybe we'll see if Ryan can jump on with us for that one. Here's hoping.
I'm sure he could. We're up to issue 9, right? This is issue 9. Okay, June 12th. Oh, good. Okay, we're finally going to see the wars on the two planets collide. Got it.
Yep. So, looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
All right, so I think that's it. So, till next time, this is Jesse signing off.
Thank you for listening to The Pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network, which is featuring syndicated versions of another comic review. Catch you next time. Make your greatest game into comics.
His judgment is obviously impaired.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.